Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Uptown, set your mind free. Uptown, everybody hot, get down.
I'm always tempted to try the falsetto.
Nope.
And then I just remember, don't do it. Stay.
But if you're going to do it, like, get into it and actually sing it. Don't go low.
Yeah. You do it in your car, though. You know that. That's true.
I cannot desecrate.
You're belting it out. You know you are. Just let it go. You
good
want it.
Good times are rolling.
I think he got it.
That was good.
Uptown is where I want to be.
No, let it go. Seriously, let it go.
I'm trying to let it go. This is the best I can do.
Get your body hot. Get down. I don't want to stop you.
I told Greg before we came back, I was like, watch, I'm going to make Andy dance right now. And sure did.
That was exhausted. Now you need a 2 o'clock call today.
Wow, I think I'm not joking. I think one of the 2 o'clock callers hung up. I'm not joking. I think line 7 hung up.
They hung up when they heard you singing.
You know what? That is line 7's loss, because I know who that was. That was Susan in Manhattan Beach. I was going to call on Susan. So
could have been a contender.
She could have been a contender. Andy Kamenetsky, Ramona Shelburne in for the guys desecrating Prince and all that stuff. Time for the 2 o'clock call of the day. Let's go with...
Momo, pick a number between 1 and 10, not 7.
3.
3. That would be Chris in L.A. What's up?
Good afternoon. You know, you guys touched on what I wanted to say, is that everyone says what a great basketball IQ that LeBron has, but it makes me wonder, because we know how horrible his three-point shooting is. If that was anyone else on the team, he'd look at them like, why are you taking this shot? Yet he keeps shooting. Game one, when they made that incredible comeback, he pulls a three. Last night, he takes those three-pointers, and that turned into instant points for the Nuggets. So it just makes me wonder, does he have this basketball IQ? Or if he does have it, I think he's just more concerned with his own ego than realizing and reading the room what's the best shot. So it's scary, and I think I speak for a lot of people in L.A. that, you know, we're tired of that.
Appreciate the
Thanks
call
for the call.
Chris.
Yeah, that was a good rant. I think he still has the greatest basketball IQ I've ever covered, outside of maybe Kobe.
Kobe's was pretty high.
Jokic is probably really high,
Jokic
too.
Jokic is.
I don't know him as well, but it's pretty off the charts.
Well, I mean, look, anybody who can pass at the level of a LeBron, of a Jokic, I mean, frankly, a Kobe, Magic, like, those are people that just see the game at a different level.
Mm-hmm. They just see it. I think... My hunch is that he takes those shots because he knows the spacing is off, and if he doesn't shoot them and make them guard him, then there's not going to be room for anyone else inside.
Except that, here's the thing, though. They're not really guarding him on those shots, though.
No, they're not. But they will have to guard him if he makes a few. So he's sort of... You know, as I said, earlier in his career, that's what teams would do to him. They would dare him. Now, the counter to it, which is what I scream at the TV every time, is go play in the post. If they're not going to guard you, back your man down, play in the post, and be LeBron in the post like he was for the Miami Heat all those years.
Yeah, I mean...
That was the big career evolution. A, he got better at shooting outside, and B, he started playing in the post.
I mean... The idea of LeBron wanting to take those shots so he can create the spacing for the game and the offense to run, I understand that in concept, but it would make more sense if these were shots we were talking about in the first quarter, or even like the second quarter, when you're looking to establish something. When you're talking about like 7 or 8 minutes left in a game, at this point, they're guarding you how they're going to guard you. And they're giving you the shot that, relatively speaking, they want you to take. And if you make those shots... late in the fourth, they're just going to tip your hat and say, well done, this is why you're LeBron James. The point Chris made, though, that I think is really interesting, is the idea that these are bad shots, and if anybody else took those shots, LeBron would be giving them a side eye. But the irony is, as far as people on this team that take threes, just about all of them should be taking them ahead of LeBron. Like, they are actually the guys that should be taking those shots more than LeBron, even if, like, Austin Reeves after the game last night talked about how LeBron can take any shot that he wants. You know, essentially that he's earned the right to do that. And that's true. That doesn't mean you should do it, though. I mean, part of why you've earned that right is your overall judgment of the game. Like, the responsibility that you've been given, that's also part of what you've earned. It's not just stature.
I mean, to me, it is the cost of being a superstar. Like, you, if the Lakers lose because LeBron did not make these shots, then you have to live with it. Because this is LeBron's team, and if he just didn't have it, if he doesn't have it in the series, then that's it. You have to just, he has to live with it, they have to live with it. That's just how it goes. What he can't live with is if somebody like, you know, Rui or Austin Reeves or Dennis or whoever you want to talk about, if those are the people who do that. Like, that's why the infamous J.R. Smith play.
Why couldn't he live with that, though?
Because if the game is going to be decided, it should be decided by him.
But at that point in the game, though, we weren't in deciding the game territory.
No,
there was a
you're right.
lot of time
good
left.
Point. I mean, look, I think the Lakers have to just live with AD and LeBron, and when those two guys have it going, then they're going to win. They just are. If they don't have it going, if one has it going and the other doesn't, it's 50-50. And if both don't have it going, they're done.
And look, the thing about this is that's really frustrating beyond the fact that they lost the game is, like, LeBron defensively in this game
was great.
He was, like, showing
out. There were a few lazy possessions early, and then I think he really tightened up.
Yeah, I mean, like, over two games, the Lakers' transition defense, frankly, has been bad all season, but the last two games, it has been really bad. I think LeBron's been the best Laker in transition, like, which says something considering he's 38, 20 seasons in. Like, there's a lot of things that he did really well in this game. Same with Anthony Davis, for that matter. But the things that you needed from them down the stretch, whether you're talking about either shots made or just good decisions, they weren't there, and they really, really hurt this team.
Yeah, that is, to me, you know, when you fly back from Denver, which I guess they're doing now, they must have stayed over there, when you fly back from Denver, that's the one you have to live with. And I've seen LeBron come back from so many things. Like, there's the stat of, you know, how many teams have come back in a second round in any playoff series, but let alone a conference finals. There's only six of them, and LeBron's had two of them.
Wow.
When you're down 2-0, LeBron's had two of the six that have come back in a conference finals.
Do you know the most recent?
The most recent.
I don't know. I'm really asking you. Do you know it?
I don't.
The reason I ask that is just because with LeBron, there's obviously, you know, his...
I think that one against Boston, that feels like that the last year he was in Cleveland, I think he came back from 0-2.
Okay.
Against Boston.
Because, like, with LeBron, obviously his playoff history speaks for itself. It's one of the best resumes ever. But there's a lot of it that's kind of less recent past. You know what I mean? Like, in his time with the Lakers, this is only the second extended playoff run that he's been on. And the one in 2020 was unusual, not just because it was in the bubble, but because they had a three-month break, you know, because of the pandemic, which obviously was awful in terms of real life, but in terms of basketball life, it gave LeBron 3 months off that I'm sure he really benefited from. That idea of what LeBron can still pull out of the hat, like the magic, you know, the rabbit that can come out of the hat, I think is a really fascinating question right now, because LeBron is in a different place in his career.
It's also a function of this playoff schedule. I don't understand this playoff schedule. I don't know. Has it always been like this, where it's every other day? I feel like each of these rounds, with the exception of the very beginning of the playoffs, the first two games with Memphis were like 4 days in between. And then it's just been every other day since.
Yeah, I feel like they should go in reverse.
Yeah.
Like, the
and then
opening
the
round,
finals, there's tons of off days.
Right, but like the opening round should be every other day.
Yeah.
And then as you go along, you have more space. Because as much as, you know, you want the grind to be part of what creates the accomplishment, you also want these guys playing at their best.
Yeah, and this is not conducive to, especially when you have long series. Like, I thought a real factor in that Warriors series was that the Warriors went to 7 against the Kings.
Sure.
And the Lakers went to and closed theirs out in 6. And that mattered. Like that mattered, especially in game one when they stole that game one in Golden State.
Yeah, but I mean, look, they had time off before the first game against Denver, and you know they struggled a lot of that game. They put together a comeback down the stretch that almost ended up working, involving a LeBron three that shouldn't have been taken. But at this point, like, you know, Jokic and Murray, they're going to be playing 40 minutes a night. Like, at this point, fatigue and minutes, they are what they are. Like, you're not gonna find a significant way to get LeBron and AD's minutes down in these games. Like, stars are expected to play 40 minutes a night in the playoffs. This is, especially once you get into, like, the conference finals or hopefully the finals for the Lakers, this is part of the deal. And there's no way around it.
Should we take one more call?
Yeah, let's take one more call.
All these nice people are sitting around.
Pick a number, 1 through 10, not 7 or 8 or 3.
5.
5, Ronnie in Anaheim. On Mason Island with Andy and Momo. What's up?
Not much, guys. So this is what I think is the major issue for the Lakers. And it's obvious. Defense. So Lakers are highly rated in defense. I don't recall if they're 1 or 2. They're somewhere there. Denver is second in the league in three-point percentage, and they're fifth in scoring. So two things got to give, right? Better offense or better defense. So the Lakers aren't definitely – they're not going to be able to win in the shootout. So they're going to have to tip their hats on defense. LeBron is not the issue. It's defense.
Appreciate the call there, Ronnie. I mean, this is a team that's defense first. I mean, their offense comes and goes, especially when it's not in transition. Their defense first, and their defense throughout most of this playoffs has been actually their defense for most of last night's game was really good.
Yeah, I thought they were fine. This was a low-scoring game. The first game was 132 points or something, but I thought they did a really good job on Jokic, and the fact that he didn't go off. What, did he have 23 points, Greg?
Yeah.
Like 23, yes. I mean, for him, that's an off night.
That's contained.
He was also 9 of 21, so he wasn't really shooting all that
well. I mean,
they
did a pretty good job on Jokic and had done a great job on Jamal Murray the whole game until the fourth quarter. And so, like, I think defensively they've done a good job. The problem is the players they have to have on the court to have that good a defense also have to show up offensively. Like, you're not getting much out of Jared Vanderbilt offensively.
No.
You're not getting much out of Schroeder right now.
No. No, Schroeder defensively has been really good, but they need more from him, particularly when they're not getting anything offensively.
Yeah, and then you're playing 3-on-5, basically.
Yeah, exactly. And we're going to get into D'Angelo Russell and this question of whether he should be coming off the bench moving forward. But coming up next, we're going to shift gears a bit. Julio Urias, rough night.
Yeah, somebody explain this to me.
Well, I have a theory that I will present.
Is it the reverse contract year theory?
It involves a contract year.
Okay.
But it's not a reverse. It's actually a compounded contract theory.
Oh, I'm down for one of these on a Friday afternoon.
Okay, we're going to get into that. And also,
let's go.
A question that I have for Momo going in the way, way back machine.
Ooh.
A question involving her and her glory days at Stanford on the softball field. Coming up next, Andy Kamenetsky and Ramona Shelburne in for the guys, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
To Laker reaction Friday on 710 ESPN, the Lakers come home down 2-0 in the series against the Nuggets. Going to get you pumped up for what's on tap for Game 3 of the Western Conference Finals. Tomorrow night, presented by Michelob Ultra, a refreshing, balanced flavor with only 2.6 carbs, 95 calories. Michelob Ultra, it's only worth it if you enjoy it. Please enjoy responsibly. Jimmy Butler loves being a Michelob Ultra spokesperson.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've ever seen anybody in commercials more delighted to be there than Jimmy Butler in those Mick Ultras.
I think Jimmy Butler's a very good commercial actor.
Yes.
When I've seen him in, like, not all actors are, like, Chris Paul is in a lot of commercials. I think he's pretty good. Yeah, but he's always Chris Paul.
Yes.
So Jimmy Butler, I feel like, can play other things.
Jimmy Butler really, I never would have thought this until a few years ago. It was around the bubble, I think, when he was doing those Mick Ultras.
Yeah.
He's really, really a charming commercial presence.
Yeah, he's got that. Because a lot of times, like, I don't know, you guys always make fun of Matthew Stafford. I liked the Stafford commercial. I thought he was, like, funny.
Speaking of Matthew Stafford, NFL.com, one of their writers, I can't remember who, but suggested that one of the Rams' offseason priorities should be really considering, do we trade Matthew Stafford? If we're going to be...
That's interesting. It would be on NFL.com.
Yes.
Official site.
It is on NFL.com. But just the idea that if they are going rebuild this season, like if they're going in some respects rebuild, do you go all the way? What is the point of having Matt Stafford on this roster this year?
Have we seen an all-out tank in football? Have we ever seen a team like really blatantly tank where they're maybe the Texans?
I was just going to say
Houston did it last year, but then they won a game at the end of the year and lose the first pick.
Yeah, that was lame.
I feel like the Browns have done it at some point.
Yeah, maybe. I think it's just harder to do. Like, you can just trade away all your good players. Remember, Houston traded all their good players one year. If the Rams were really going to tank, they would trade all their good players. They're not tanking, guys. I know everybody has this fantasy that they're tanking and they're going to win 3 games and get Caleb Williams. Like, I don't know. Not while Aaron Donald's still there. Not while Matt Stafford's there.
They were lousy when they had Aaron Donald in the beginning. They were awful. He was just as good.
I don't think you... Now, unless they start load managing guys, okay. Then I'll believe you.
Well,
but
if you move Matt Stafford for picks and young unestablished players, and what's his name becomes the quarterback this season.
Stetson Bennett. He's older than you.
He is older than me. Like, you know, I just heard a crazy, crazy factoid about him.
I did it on What's Up Fool the other day.
He has actually not graduated college.
Right. He's been there since 2018.
The heck's he been doing?
He's like Bluto in Animal House.
Yeah.
Like, Bluto is, remember, 7 years of college down the drain.
It really is 7 years of college, and he didn't graduate.
Like, people get graduate degrees, like PhD. They go from, like, undergrad to PhD in that time.
Might as well get another master's.
Like,
I mean,
I feel like in 7 years, you could get a degree by accident.
I mean, there were definitely some, like, COVID years, so there was probably a lot of Zoom classes.
But there's still classes, though.
Yeah, I know. They're just not adding up to anything.
Like, that doesn't seem possible.
No, it's not like your parents are paying for your tuition there when you're the quarterback.
Oh, no, I'm not saying I'm disappointed in
I'm actually kind of impressed. Like, you have to kind of work at that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, you could fall into a degree in 7 years.
Yeah.
Like, it's not that hard to get a degree.
Correct.
Even in 4 years, it's not that hard. 7 years?
Yeah, what's he been doing?
Like, transferring, I guess. He's done a little bit of transfer. How does he manage to not get a degree in 7 years?
I don't know. You take a class, and one of those, it's like only one.
So
it's like an
some
internship
of it has to be like
only one credit.
Yeah, or some of it is probably you're not taking classes that add up to a degree. Like, you know, there's certain classes you have to take for your degree. So if you just take 4 classes every time, but they don't add up to anything.
Come on.
Well, like, I'm almost to the history degree.
Do we know,
he has like 5 minors.
I was just about to ask, do we know, did Stetson Bennett ever even declare a major in anything?
Let's be real here. He was not taking classes, period.
Right, but you still have to go through the motions of declaring a major.
Do you?
I think you do. Like, at some point, like, part of the charade is...
Ooh,
charade. Nobody says charade.
Charade. I say charade.
It's very proper of you. Charade.
I think charade sounds funnier, so I like charade.
Are we, like, in a Jane Austen novel or something?
I prefer Gerard. Ramona.
Been watching the new Shonda Rhimes show on Netflix.
Oh, is that the
Queen Charlotte?
No, I think my wife is, but yeah. I have not seen that.
That's number one.
I prefer Sherrod.
Okay.
But anyway, that's amazing to me that you could be in school for 7 years
yeah.
without a degree. Mike Malone, Momo. Do you know Mike Malone?
A little bit, but I would not dare to call him Mike.
Well, I'm doing it, and I'm not afraid because he's not here.
Okay.
Mike Malone.
Internet courage.
He went by Mike for years. It's not even disrespectful to call the guy what he was for several years. Plus, he seems to like to be in a good mood. I mean, a bad mood. So I'm doing him a favor by saying the thing that he hates. He's complaining an awful lot about the lack of respect that Denver has been getting this season, this series, after the game one win, after the game two win. Why do you think Michael Malone is doing this?
Oh, I think he's just trying to fire his team up. I mean, the truth is they don't really want a lot of attention. Like, I've called several times, hey, what if I came out and I did a really good deep dive?
What if I told you, Mike Malone?
Yeah, what if I did a really good deep dive on Jamal Murray or Jokic? Nah, they're not interested. like there's no, sometimes when I call Ray Ritter from the Warriors,
yeah.
Hey, when are you coming up? Love to see you. Whereas, when you call Denver, there's this, can I do a yoga tour? I've got a good idea. He's not doing it.
Okay, Momo, please. I've asked very little from you in our time as friends over the years. The next Denver press conference, please ask Mike Malone, why have you guys not wanted us to do any stories on you? If, you're so upset that we're not getting the shine, why is it that whenever I call, you guys say no?
I'm not going to do that.
Please do that. Please do it.
I mean, the thing is, then it makes the story about us. And I don't think anybody cares about the media.
I know, but I want the answer.
I know you want the answer. I called and requested Michael Malone, and they said he can't do anything right now. He's so locked into the playoffs. If you need something from coach, just do the regular press conferences. We're not doing anything more than the minimum. So that's fine. It's totally fine. I'm used to doing write-arounds. Hey, we all wrote Kawhi Leonard stories back in the day, right? Up in Toronto. There was, you're supposed to be creative. You can't always get somebody to talk to you. You get other people to talk to you. You do your work elsewhere. But he's, I just think he's firing his team up. I think, to me, Denver has the look that Milwaukee did 2 years ago when Giannis finally won. And the reason you don't get respect is because you haven't won yet. That's because you were the number one seed a couple of times and you didn't win. When you fall short and you have a guy as historically good and accomplished as Jokic, and then you don't win, the pressure mounts and people don't take you seriously until you do win. And so that's where they are. It's fine. It's like the Clippers. Why don't people... The Clippers get a little more attention, I suppose, but that's also because they have... Paul George is a more willing participant in media stuff, and they have, Ty Lue is pretty funny, and Kawhi is unintentionally funny. he's more of a he's a talking point because he doesn't play that often and all. Ballmer, it's Ballmer, but they haven't won either. They at least got to the conference finals, but they haven't won either, and so therefore you're not going to get the respect or the what's coming to you until you win. That's how it works in the NBA.
The irony in all this right now, if Denver ends up getting to the finals, maybe even winning it all, we watched this whole year where people were detracting from Nikola Jokic's worthiness for a third straight MVP in very large part because they were detracting past playoff, I'm using finger quote right now, failures, even though that typically happened when they were missing either Jamal Murray, Michael Porter, or both Jamal Murray and Michael Porter. The last time they had all three of them, they went to the Western Conference Finals, eventually lost to the Lakers. If he ends up winning it all this year, it's just going to show how honestly stupid so much of the MVP debate and talk and the conversation is.
But as a voter, I will tell you, the 2 years he won, I actually think he was more deserving this year than he was one of the years that he won. There was one year he won. It was everyone got hurt that year, and he was kind of the last one standing.
But wasn't there a year where he won because nobody wanted to give it to Giannis?
Right, again. That was his first year. And I thought he and Embiid were neck and neck, and then Embiid really faded down the stretch. That was the weird Ben Simmons year. He started flaking out, and Embiid played poorly the last month of the season and kind of missed that finishing kick. And but those were also the last two standing, because before that, Steph had been great. And Steph had been great the last month, but they were an 8 seed. LeBron had been great, but then he got hurt. I think Kevin Durant was in the conversation for a while. He got hurt.
Well, yeah, the first year, though, that Jokic won, Giannis could have won it 3 straight times.
Yeah, he could have.
And everybody was holding it against him. Oh, he hadn't gone so far enough. Then Giannis ends up winning the whole thing that year.
Yeah, there's a lot of similarities.
I just feel like full disclosure, I don't really care that much who wins or who doesn't. And this is more about the conversation than the actual vote or voters itself. People try too hard to predict the future in the way that they make their vote.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people saw Embiid or Giannis getting further than Jokic in the playoffs. So they were already deciding why they couldn't give it to Jokic, because they saw him as the guy getting eliminated.
I don't think so. I think it was more that the tally was Giannis has 2, Joker has 2, Embiid has 0. And it felt like Embiid should win one of these. Like, it literally was just people were looking for reasons to vote for Embiid because he hadn't won. And he finished strong. He had 52 against the Celtics that last week. Joker had his worst game of the season in that same night. It was like that finishing kick. He had 8 turnovers. Oof. He was coming off they lost to Phoenix. Maybe it's not Phoenix. I can't remember who they lost to, but it was clearly his worst game of the season, and he was coming off a calf injury. And so I thought there was... It was almost like a, you know, you've been an also-ran for so many years. This is your gear to win. And Embiid had, quite frankly, been the more dominant two-way player. Last year with Joker, not this past season, but the year before, I thought it was hard to give him, even though his stats were amazing and he did all that without Jamal and all that, it was hard because the team success was less. So it's hard to give a team award, really. An MVP is sort of a team award. When your team goes and they finish 5th or something, whatever. I think they finished 5th. I thought that was harder. But Embiid faded down the stretch as well. And this year, I thought Giannis had the best finishing kick of the 3. And maybe he just didn't have quite enough ground to make up. But I thought Giannis had a really strong case too. And he was the first one out.
Yeah.
You know?
Again, you don't know how these things are going to turn out. Is there a fix for the Lakers right at their fingertips when it comes to the fourth quarter and some of these issues we've seen from them in games 1 and 2? We'll talk about that coming up next. Andy Kamenetsky, Ramona Shelburne in for Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
It's all I'm living for.
Ugh.
Baby.
Did you hear my reaction? I was like, ugh.
To do, want to be your lover. Want to be the only one that makes you come running.
We're doing this.
Just let it happen, Momo.
I don't know.
Just let it happen.
I'm just thinking about all these people driving around in their cars going, what is going on?
They're getting down there, too. Prince.
Yeah. Maybe.
Gonna be the only one you come for.
His eyes are closed.
So hard.
He's like in the zone.
It's a really difficult octave for me.
It's for anyone. That's why Prince is Prince.
Yeah, I know.
It's like, hey, go do that Mariah Carey song. You know that one where she does that with her voice?
Yeah, just jump right into that. Yeah, you're right. Oh, I got to be me.
Hey, I thought it was great, Andy.
Thank you.
And we
you got
do
that there.
Every time you fill in.
Thank you.
Actually, Jorge, let's do that every time.
I told you,
I can
make them dance. I can get a go.
It is true. I become a puppet on a string at that point. Like, it is pretty easy.
Jorge has a new favorite drop.
For today.
This is the grape lady.
I can't breathe.
I can't breathe.
There it is. The best part is the anchor's back in the studio.
Ooh.
Ouch. You genuinely don't know what to say to that.
Like, are you okay? Hey, let's cut off those live shots.
She's clearly not okay. She said she's hurting.
Look like it hurt.
Yeah. There's Feels like there's no good thing to say after that happens.
I mean, I was there live for the maze plant. I saw that happen in real time. And I was kind of concerned.
In the beginning, I actually wasn't concerned.
Because his reaction was like...
Well, no, I thought in the beginning, I thought Mace fell intentionally playing to the crowd.
Right.
Because I was like, no human being falls like that.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, that's clearly Mace. And then he falls a second time. I'm like, okay, he's obviously, you know, trying to get attention like Mace does, handing it up, wanting to be the center of focus.
Yeah.
And then I see him walking towards him, like, okay, he may be concussed. Like,
I think he was in a bad place. I've seen the video many times. And I remember, like, at the time, I was like, should we stop the game and make sure he's okay? Even him walking off the court was a little weird.
Yeah.
And woozy.
He was clearly.
Okay, for the record, as a television professional, what you're supposed to do in a situation like that is cut the live shot and tell the audience that we hope everything's okay out there. We'll come back with an update when we have one.
That's how 15 years later they should have handled the grape lady?
Yes. Not like, ooh, that had to hurt.
Siobhan Monterosa hits us up on the Mason Island Mafia. I sound just like AK as I'm sitting in traffic going,
yeah?
Happy to help out, Siobhan. There you go. See, Momo, Siobhan and I are
you guys surviving?
Yes, yeah, exactly. Okay. All right, so been hearing from some people, Momo. We talked about the late fourth quarter issues the Lakers have been having, execution.
Oh, wait, another one. Driving in my car now and you're playing one of my very favorite Prince songs.
There you go.
That's from my producer, Shari Greenberg.
See?
Look, people.
Oh, I know.
You know what? I stand corrected.
I know her.
People like you, Andy.
Hi.
Just people, let him cook. Let him do his thing.
All right. Rock out.
Exactly.
There you go. Go, Andy.
Hashtag let Andy cook.
Woo!
That's all I'm living for. Yeah. Don't want to pressure you, baby. That's all I ever wanted to do. Want to be your lover.
There it is.
Want to be the only one that makes you.
How long are we gonna let this go?
I mean, just let it go.
Yeah,
at this point.
I mean, his eyes are closed. I think he's completely in the song in the moment.
Enough. I think I'm getting winded. Might have pulled something there.
I mean, it's a great song.
It is good.
We're almost at Game of Games. Like, let's just have some fun. It's Friday.
It's
you know what I'm saying? Friday.
Yeah, this.
You know what? That's all because if Shari Greenberg likes it, like driving in her car, thinks enough to text me right then.
No, she's a big one.
I buy that one.
No, Shari's got clout.
She's a cultural arbiter.
Yes. Yes, she is.
Yep.
When you were mine, I gave you all of my money.
And we've turned into FM radio.
I mean, totally fine.
Boy, this is really putting the effort in effort Friday.
Yeah, it is.
It Friday.
Where is Mace, by the way?
He is in, I don't know if he wants it disclosed, but he's soaking in hot springs.
Oh, that's a common place.
That is a common place for him to go.
I was thinking about because we heard, you know, the What's Up Fool, Bryan Cranston. You can count on Bryan Cranston being heard on this show more than you can count on Mason being heard on this show.
So he had a stat because he keeps track of how many days he does in a row. Because it doesn't happen very often. He did 49 days in a row until today.
That's good.
That's pretty
good
for him.
That can't be right.
No, he really has been.
I think he has been here a lot.
Yeah, he's been a lot. I mean, we've been in the playoffs.
That's true because I've been here a bunch of times and it's always been with Mace. So you're
right.
Correct.
Yeah. No, he's been here a good amount, 49. But like... Pick and choose your days,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
The day between games 2 and 3 of the Western Conference.
I know, this
finals.
Is the one where the people are restless.
Right.
That was a tough game.
Because what could happen, like, God forbid they lose on Saturday, Monday.
Do you want me to buck you up or you want me to
buck us
rain
up. Buck us
down?
Up. Make sure you say buck.
Yep. Don't get fired on a Friday.
Right. Like, keep hitting those Fs.
Bees.
Buck. It up.
Yes. They haven't lost at home since late March.
That is true.
They also haven't lost 3 in a row since the trade deadline.
Like, they were right there. They should have won game 2 and they lost. They probably should not have won game 1 and they lost. But I really thought, like, they match up pretty well. I thought the altitude was a factor. I think the load on LeBron and AD is a factor. But they're not getting anything out of D'Angelo Russell. They're not getting anything out of Dennis Schroeder except for good defense. Zero offensive production from Vanderbilt, essentially. And they probably should have split in Denver. You're coming to the arena where you've won. We haven't lost a game since late March. You should feel pretty good.
Now, what we've learned from this series is the Lakers are absolutely capable of playing with Denver. Yeah. I think they are capable of beating Denver. Denver's margin for error, though, is bigger. They have a bigger margin for
error. Yeah, okay, fair enough.
And those little margins can become magnified when you make mistakes.
Yeah, and it is particularly deflating when your two stars are the ones that don't get it done.
Yeah.
Like, when you lose in the fourth quarter because D'Angelo is not playing well and misses a bunch of shots, or Rui or whatever, then people are like, oh, man, give the ball to AD. Right. Give the ball to LeBron.
Well, it feels like there's a solution there.
Yeah.
So, obviously, you give the ball to Anthony Davis, you give it to LeBron James.
Yeah, and those guys didn't do the right things.
That's where it starts feeling more, I don't want to say hopeless to Laker fans, because I don't think we've
gotten there
yet.
Oh, it definitely felt hopeless last night.
Right.
On the social channels and everybody.
But for the, right. I guess so. I'm trying to.
People go from like zero to hopeless pretty quick.
Trying to buck them up, Ramona.
Careful with the bees.
Trying to buck them up.
Okay.
Yeah. It feels tough. When it's LeBron and AD, it feels doubly problematic. All right, coming up next, we got Game of Games. It is my game.
Oh, it's going to be strange and complicated and maybe good, maybe terrible.
My games are always great.
Excellent.
I hear from people all the time, just like my singing, my games are always great. And I think people are going to enjoy this one.
Okay.
Coming up next, Andy Kamenetsky, Ramona Shelburne, in for the guys, 710 ESPN. And it will be me taking it away, Andy Kamenetsky in with Ramona Shelburne. Is Cappy joining us?
Yo, yo, yo.
I thought we decided it's Momo.
Momo.
She's like in my Mike phone Momo. As Momo now. Always.
Yo, yo, Momo.
I mean, since we're doing this whole Mike Michael thing, I'm going to just...
Momo.
We're going to variously
say
it's Momo.
You're going to be super intense about it?
Yeah. Super intense. I think we've known each other long enough, Andy, that you should know that it's Momo.
Am I not giving you enough respect?
Yeah.
Like we don't give Denver enough respect?
Put some respect all over it.
Cappy, how are you?
Yo, yo, Momo.
How are you?
What's up, A-Camp?
Hey, what's going on with your guy? Bone. Mike Bone's out. What's going on?
Dude. This was news to me today.
Oh.
All right, we will
like talk. A lightning bolt. That's a crosstalk conversation.
I was going to say, we will talk about that in crosstalk.
Yeah.
But today's game, Fast X, hits theaters today. The 10th installment of the Fast and Furious universe. I'm excited to see this movie, even though they've gone downhill since Fast and Furious 6, with the exception of the spinoff, Hobbs and Shaw, which was very fun. We are going to do a quiz about cast members.
Excellent.
From the Fast
I have never seen one of these
That's
movies.
That's why I didn't
this
want to
do
it.
This will be great.
Same for me, Momo. Not one. Not one single time have I seen any of these films. I predict I'm going to win.
For Jorge.
I've seen them all.
I'm going to win.
Every single
Let's
one.
Let's go. Swag system.
First question.
Right.
Let's go.
What board game is Vin Diesel a massive
Momo.
Fan of? No.
Oh, it's okay.
Multiple choice.
Wait, what? You actually knew that one.
I don't know. I'm just going to swag it.
What board game is Vin Diesel a massive fan of?
It's not Jeopardy.
Oh.
Look, Jacob got us read either way. So.
It's multiple choice here. We got a chance.
Andy. What right. board game is Vin Diesel a massive fan of in real life?
Let's go.
Dungeons & Dragons, Monopoly, or Risk? Dungeons and Dragons, Monopoly, or Risk? Momo goes first.
Well, without those choices, I was buzzing to say Monopoly.
Okay.
So we're saying Monopoly.
Jorge.
Risk.
Risk.
It's all about the family.
It's all about the family.
It's all about the family.
Bergie.
Risk.
And Cappy.
I'm also going Risk.
You're all wrong. It is Dungeons and Dragons.
Oh, damn. He's
a
sure it was going to be Monopoly.
Massive D&D fan.
Wow.
All right.
The late Paul Walker was a child actor and model who took a brief break from the industry to go to some community college where he eventually, or before eventually turning to Hollywood. What was his major in community college?
Huh.
Economics, American history, or marine biology? Economics, American history, marine biology. Jorge goes first.
Marine biology.
Bergman.
American history.
Cappy.
Economics.
Momo.
Marine biology.
Marine biology is the
Woo!
Correct answer.
Swag.
Jorge.
Yeah,
Let's
he was
go.
A big, big time enthusiast of it, activist, that sort of thing. Michelle Rodriguez voiced one of the Smurfs in Smurfs the Lost Village. Which Smurf was she? Smurf Melody, Smurf Storm, or Smurf Willow? Smurf Melody, Smurf Storm, or Smurf Willow? Bergman goes first.
Smurf Willow.
Cappy?
What's the third one?
Smurf Willow.
What's the second one?
Smurf Storm.
Yeah, that. I'll take that.
Momo.
I'm going to go with Melody.
And Jorge.
Melody.
Cappy's the only one who gets it right. It is Smurf Storm. Smurf Willow was apparently voiced by Julia Roberts.
I was just waiting for Smurfette. I mean, where's what happened to her?
Jordana Brewster got her start in soap operas. Which was her breakout show? All My Children, General Hospital, or As the World Turns? All My Children, General Hospital, or As the World Turns? Cappy goes first.
General Hospital. I know this one is a fact.
As the World Turns.
Jorge?
First one.
All My Children?
Yeah.
Bergman. As the World Turns.
Momo's the only one is correct. It is As the World Turns.
I got it too.
I just said that.
Sorry. As the World Turns.
But we don't listen to you.
As the World Turns. You're not alone on that, Momo.
Momo threw it out with such confidence.
I had no idea. I'm just absolutely guessing.
As the World Turns.
Good thing
turns,
you know that one is a fact, Cappy.
She played.
Right.
That's Toretto's sister.
Yeah, she was. She was the rebellious sister on of Hal Munson and Lydia Graves. Which CFL team did Dwayne Johnson play for after the University of Miami, albeit briefly due to injury? The Calgary Stampede, the Ottawa Red Blacks, or the Saskatchewan Rough Riders? The Stampede, the Red Blacks, or the Rough Riders? Momo goes first.
Oof. Stampede.
Jorge.
Rough Riders.
Bergman.
I think it is the Rough Riders.
Cappy.
Calgary.
Calgary is correct.
Yeah.
The Calgary Stampede.
I kind of know things about The Rock.
You know things about The Rock?
So Momo and Cappy got that one right. Momo has a nice little lead here. 3-2 over Cappy, and Jorge and I have one.
Jason Statham, who everybody agrees I resemble, had his real life modeled after in one of his roles for director Guy Ritchie. Which movie did was his life mirrored after for the movie? Snatch? Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, or Rock and Rolla? Snatch, Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, Rock and Rolla. His character, Guy Ritchie, modeled his real life after. Jorge goes first.
B. I'll go with B.
Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels? Stock. Bergman.
Lock, Stock.
Cappy.
Snatch.
Momo?
The third one, Rock and Rolla.
It is Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels.
All right, we're in it, Jorge.
It's a grifter character, and in real life, before getting his break in Hollywood, Statham used to sell fake perfume and jewelry on the streets for extra cash to get by.
How much? How many are left?
Three.
Okay.
Ludacris and Bill Riley ended up in a high-profile feud when Ludacris had been a pitch person for this soft drink, and O'Reilly, who objected to Ludacris in general, called for a boycott of the soft drink, which led to them boycotting Ludacris. Which soft drink was it? Coca-Cola, Pepsi, Sprite? Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or Sprite? Jorge goes first.
Sprite.
Bergman.
Sprite.
Cappy.
Sprite.
Momo.
Coca-Cola.
You're all wrong. It's Pepsi.
Oh, my.
He was a spokesperson for Pepsi.
That was our chance, Jorge.
It was.
Which genre?
I love how you're in it together.
Which genre?
Disgusting brothers.
Yeah. You're disgusting brothers. Which genre of music is Jason Momoa a massive fan of? Heavy metal?
I love everything Jason Momoa.
Hip hop or classical? Heavy metal, hip hop, classical. Jason Momoa, big fan of. Bergman goes first.
Classical.
Cappy.
Heavy metal.
Momo.
Classical.
Jorge?
Hip hop.
It is heavy metal. Cappy gets it right.
Yeah. Okay, so there's one left. Momo and Cappy have three. Jorge and I have two.
The two people who don't know anything.
So we have not heard of one of these people other than The Rock.
I know all these people, but I don't know.
Either Momo or Cappy has to go first. They both have to go first, and then Jorge and I can go after him.
Rita Moreno, who plays Dom Toretto's grandmother, his abuelita, recently appeared in the movie 80 for Brady, which centers around Tom Brady. In real life, Moreno is a big football fan. Which is her team that she roots for? The New York Giants, the New England Patriots, the Miami Dolphins. Giants, Patriots, or Dolphins? Who does Marita Moreno root for in real life?
Dolphins.
Cappy?
Giants.
All right, we have to go Pats.
Pats, yeah.
It is the Patriots.
Oh, come on.
Oh, we're all tied up.
3-3-3-3.
Wow. I do have a bonus.
You good? All right, well, that's we have to get in.
True or false?
All right.
Oh, well, it can't.
All right.
What?
Wow. It's usually a number.
Yeah, it's got to be a number.
Oh, do you want...
All four of us have the same.
Oh. We all have three, so if so three of us say true.
I'm thinking of a number between 1 and 20. What's closest?
Okay. 10. I mean, do you want me to do that?
I mean, okay, let's do the true or false. Let's do a weeder question and then give us a question.
Okay, well, you know what? I have one more.
A number
that
question.
Okay, I have one more that's multiple choice that I have.
All right, let's go.
Okay.
Charlize Theron won an Academy Award for Best Actress in the movie Monster. Which of these other movies was she not nominated for?
Okay.
Young Adult, Bombshell, or North Country? Young Adult, Bombshell, and North Country. Momo goes first.
Young Adult.
Jorge.
North Country.
Bergman.
I'm going to say Bombshell.
Cappy.
I'm saying Bombshell, too.
Momo, you win!
Momo! Outright!
She was not nominated for Young Adult. She should have been, but she was
not. I don't even know what that movie is.
Me neither. Momo, I got to tell you.
The other two are the only ones I knew.
You should be so happy with this win because I feel... I'm like the Lakers in game one.
Yeah.
Where, you know, I really didn't belong in the game the whole game, and then I had a chance to steal it. I did not belong in this game.
Yeah.
I didn't know anything, but I had a chance to steal at the end.
That's right.
Damn.
That's right.
There you go.
You know what you did? You settled for three.
You did.
Ooh, and I'm 0 for 5?
Yeah, I took you to the rack.
Yeah.
Jorge and I free missed throws. The windmill dunk.
Oh, that was so... That windmill... I don't know how to explain this, guys. That windmill dunk was so weird, other than what David McMenamin told me that LeBron missed two dunks in pregame warmups, and I can't get it out of my head.
Yeah, hold on. What windmill dunk?
The one that it just slipped out of his hand. Well,
It was a reverse dunk. That wasn't a windmill dunk or a reverse dunk.
I mean, he was going from one side and came. He brought it down and around, and he lost it as he was trying to come around.
It was a reverse dunk.
It was a reverse fumble.
It was a fumble.
Yeah.
It, you know what it was? It was an accident. And a game of games is powered by Jacob, called Jacob.
I see what you did there.
That's why after an accident, even after like a bungled dunk, you have to call Jacob. Call Jacob.com or call 844-24-JACOB. That's 844-24-JACOB.
That's good, Andy.
Thank you. I had to get it in there somewhere while I remembered.
That's good.
Wanted to remember. Hey, how about a little crosstalk? It's time for Super Crosstalk.
Woo!
It's 11.
There they are, Cappy and Sedano. How are you guys?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Where are you right now?
I just landed maybe less than 90 minutes ago.
You'd been in Denver, correct?
I was, and there was a strange travel day. One of those days today.
Ooh, one of those.
What happened?
So I get up. I go to the airport. I had a 10 o'clock flight, Denver time. And on my way there, I get the alert that says your flight has been delayed.
Ooh.
And I'm like, all right, whatever, no big deal. So then I start to do the thing that I like to do when I see the flight's delayed. I'm like, well, let me see where this other plane's coming from, right?
How long of a delay, George?
Well, initially it said it was only going to be like an hour.
Okay, no big deal.
Right. So I go and I'm looking at the flight. And I'm like, well, wait a second. This flight is supposedly coming from El Paso in the same time zone. It was supposed to have left at 7. And I'm like, and it still hasn't taken off yet.
Oh, yeah. You're on Southwest, huh?
No, United.
Oh, okay. That sounds like a Southwest.
I'm coming from Denver.
LA.
It's just a million.
Yeah.
No, you can do this on almost any app now. Yeah. All of them have it. So I'm like, oh, man, that's not good. So I'm like, what's the next flight? So I walked over to the gate where the next flight would be. And the lady was like, can you give me a minute? I'm finishing this Atlanta flight. We're going to get to the LA one in a minute. I said, yeah, no problem. And then all of a sudden I hear, George! And I turn around, and it's Mike Breen. He's like, were you on the 10 o'clock flight? I said, yeah. He goes, were you also looking to get on this 11-something flight?
Oh,
I'm like, yeah. He's like, yeah, but my bags, I checked them in. I said, Mike, they'll take care of your bags. Don't worry about that. So we're sitting there. All of a sudden, all these media people and ESPN people start popping up and all trying to get on these flights to LA. It was hilarious. And everybody's like freaking out, like, oh my God, what can I do if we can't get on this one? We got to get on one at 1:45. And it was just like that kind of morning. It was super stressful. And we were all bouncing around. I don't know if any of you have ever been to the Denver airport.
Oh, yeah.
But it's humongous.
Yes,
okay.
It is.
Like, I literally put in 4,000 steps today just going to all these different gates and trying to figure all this stuff out. But as we were about to try to figure out to try to get on that later flight, they sent us an alert and it said, your new flight will be leaving out of Terminal A or whatever.
Oh, no.
But it's leaving at 10:45, which of course it was never really going to leave at 10:45. But we were all like, all right. And then we checked to see and there was a new plane coming in for us. So we were good to go. So we all got on that flight, left around, don't know, closer to noon, to be honest with you. But we all made it, and we're all here now. So, but did crazy, you, just a long, like, stressful morning.
Yeah,
you know, just like not needed.
Were you guys all seated near each other, like all the ESPN folk?
Well, most of them were behind the scenes types, producers, cameramen, people like that.
Which
so
also
Breen and I
behind the first class people,
behind the scenes people in the production group. Mm-hmm. There were a couple people within, you know, seated near us, but I was in row one and Mike was in row three.
There you go.
Breen a good flyer.
Oh, he's excellent. He was what? Let me tell you something. Breen and I hadn't caught up with him like that because usually when I'm working with him, like, you know, we'll chat for a little bit or maybe we'll grab dinner or whatever. But it'd been a minute. It'd probably been at least a month or so. So it was nice to just kind of chit chat with him.
You know, I'm going to tell some stories.
Oh, yeah.
I sat next to Breen and Van Gundy in the press room at the last game. They were not chatty at all. Like, George, I felt like I was, like, in the way. Like did I do something? Or like, I kept trying to engage. And, you know, after a while, you just get the hint. You're like, all right, they're, like, trying to lock in or something like that. And I was like.
What game was that? Was it the Warriors?
Yeah.
Game six. Lock in. Come on. It could be that some, you never know what's going on, right? Like, you know, maybe there was something going on, like, and they were just, or they were just tired of traveling or whatever, you know.
Yeah,
I got to tell you, though, watching them and listening to them, there's a point last night in the game where Van Gundy and Jackson are both like, what has happened to the game that I love? What is wrong with the NBA? What is up with these calls and these fouls? And I hear Mark Jackson go, what has happened to the game that I love? I must tell you, I really like that crew. That's a fun crew to listen to. You know, I love Kevin Harlan, and I love the TNT guy, but that Breen crew.
Yeah, Breen's the best.
Breen is
incredible. Breen is amazing.
They're good. Yeah.
And he's one of the nicest human beings you'll ever find. Just genuinely a nice. My first game when I did sidelines, you know, many, many years ago now, was with him. It was him and Jeff, and he came right up to me and he said, he's like, Georgie, whatever you need, let me know. We're working with an old school producer. He doesn't like to work in the reporter. If he gives you any grief, just shoot me a text. And I was like, okay. And every single thing I wanted to do got in that game
one.
Wow. That's nice. So he's an incredible person. I owe him a ton. But they're great. And by the way, I thought the coolest thing, now I saw this live too. Obviously, I didn't get to hear it because I was at the game, but I know Laker fans don't want to hear this, but Jamal Murray saying bang to Mike Breen is so, pretty out of control.
My God, that was amazing.
Yeah, that was hilarious. Pretty iconic, especially if they go on and win.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, that's like your Heisman moment.
Yeah.
Well, like, doing anything in my life, to hear a Breen bang afterwards would be amazing.
That would be good.
Just knowing that ideas. That bang was coming. Mm-hmm.
So Mike told me he didn't know. Mike told me he didn't know because when he... After he hit the shot, he looked down to see how many points he had. So he missed it.
Ah.
And then Mark Jackson said it on the air. He said, he just said bang to you.
Well, I blame Van Gundy for a lot of times when Breen is looking for something. Van Gundy will come up with a question in the middle of a game. Like, well, how many rebounds has he had in the last 8 games combined? And then all of a sudden, Breen is like quiet for a few seconds. He's like, should I know that? I'm looking. I don't know. I'm trying to figure out my stats guy. We're Googling it. I don't know, coach. Like, I think it's hilarious how often Van Gundy asks an open-ended question, and Breen needs a few seconds until his statistician comes up with an answer.
He's kind of like, remember in Best in Show, Fred Willard as the co-announcer, just throwing out random stuff that the straight-laced other announcer has to react to, having no idea what to say.
Right.
Breen kind of becomes that with Jeff Van Gundy and Mark Jackson.
Oh, no, he's definitely the straight man in that conversation.
But
there's,
like,
no question about
to
that.
To my press room conversation, I think what it is they have to save up all of their energy to do that on the broadcast all the time.
Oh, you got to be on. It's like doing a show. You know what I mean? Like, there's no question. Now, in the morning, you know, I see him at the airport, you know, we're chit-chatting the whole time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so it's just, I think Momo, you know, right before a game, those guys are pretty locked
in. They are
locked
in.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I mean, having worked with those guys for a lot.
Trying to remember how to say everybody's name and all the stats and stuff.
They're focusing on stuff, I mean, I would say if you see them on an off day, that's usually
when they're most
chatty.
Now, listen, Stan Van Gundy.
He's chatty all the time.
Chatty all the time. Greg, I was like introducing Greg to Stan Van Gundy at the game.
You were not introduced. Well, you did.
You totally turtled.
No, there was no turtling. We've talked about this before.
I walked up and he said, "Hey, Greg Bergman, nice to meet you." And he looked and he said, "Hi, nice to meet you." And then he turned his back and went back to Ramona.
Yeah,
so
but
I
you,
was
had,
behind
you had nothing
him.
To say.
What am I?
But if you would have said yes, I agree. If you have something, and Stan is very chatty, to Momo's point.
Yeah, he's chatty.
If you had well, something you to say, he'd go back with you.
Yeah. Well,
you
go I'm, back I'm to sure the whole... he would have. I said hi, he said hi, and then he immediately turned around.
And usually
there's
what I do,
more to do
is I pick their brains. I'm like, you guys have been covering the series. You know what's going on. Are you seeing what I'm seeing? What do you think about putting LeBron on Jokic or, you know, whatever?
It's
right?
the exact By the way, that was a good conversation that we were supposed to have that day with Woj. You know, it's like, hey,
yeah.
So what do you think? Like, that's an icebreaker, Bergie. You know, but I understand if Van Gundy, you know, gave you the back. You know, like
I tried. I did like three.
Turn. I was like, okay,
I did like three volleys when I was talking to those guys. Like three tries with Brain, three tries with Van Gundy, and it was just no dice. It was like, shut up and let me eat my chili. You know, like it was like one of
Who's
those
eating chili.
They have really good chili in the press room there.
Oy vey, if I had the chili before a game broadcast, who the hell?
Not me. I'm not eating that before a broadcast. Either I'm with you, Cappy.
What if I was wearing white pants that night? Oy vey.
Yeah, no, I'm not doing that either.
Man.
I'm not doing that either.
This Bergman, conversation when, went in a weird place.
If yep. Van Gundy, if Stan pops in again,
yeah.
And you're there, I'm going to be like, Stan, my guy, and he's probably not going to remember meeting you the first time, so you need
not.
To come up with something.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean.
Now, am I remembering this correctly?
I'm not, like,
that
trying to have these conversations.
Oh, wait, this is great. Are you ready for this?
Sure.
You yeah, ready right. for this? After his interview with Cassidy Hubbard following Game 6 in Philadelphia, Jason Tatum is now sporting a shirt with the word humbly splashed across the chest as he warms up for Game 6.
You can't
two
do
tonight.
That. You can't do that.
It's pretty
See,
good.
See, I actually
I like
have
it.
A shirt. I have a shirt that that is you know, there's irony to it because it says humble but still the best. So that's funny. You know what I mean? That's not... That's supposed to be tongue in cheek, but him doing that, I don't know if I love that.
I love Anybody it. Want to tell me?
How about Cappy
here?
With the fortunate moment? Have you already have those shirts?
I haven't made those yet, but that's a good one. What a fortunate moment we find ourselves in. That's a really good T-shirt.
Yeah, do it.
Another T-shirt I'm working on right now is George. How's the phrase go? Two things can be true.
Yeah, two things can be true at the same time. Yeah,
right. That's one. I got another one that says
I gave you one the other day.
We find ourselves in.
I gave you one the other day. When in doubt, zoom out.
Well, yep.
I like that.
That. Recently. You've been using that recently. That's new to that's a new phrase that you've just popped out on us that make for a nice T-shirt.
Yeah.
What about the one about future injury and past injury?
Oh, the biggest predictor of future injury is past injury? I feel like it's too wordy for
not a shirt.
No, but you do it half on the front, half on the back.
Make sure you pay George though, you know.
Right.
Just saying.
You gotta pay him.
Yes. Give them some context to this sound.
No, I know the context to it. It's the lady stepping on the grape or whatever.
Okay.
Yeah, I know that Levitard and those guys back in their early days, I'm talking about like 15, 20 years ago, used to play that all the time.
I had never heard this before. Like if
before today?
Yeah, before today. I had
oh
never...
my God. Yeah, I mean people have millions and tens of millions of people have watched that.
It's probably it's one of the first viral videos.
I feel awful for this woman.
Yeah.
Like this is the one thing she's known for, falling over from a bucket of grapes and making an inhuman sound while in agony.
Cappy, have you heard that video before? Have you seen it?
I have, but it's like, it wasn't something that, George, you immediately got it. I was like, you know what, I think I've heard that, and then you guys said something about crushing the grapes, but it kind of sounds to me like the Fast and the Furious Part 2. Like, I don't really remember. That was for you, Andy.
I know.
I've never watched any Fast and the Furious movie, so, and I don't plan on starting anytime soon.
Well, neither did we, and yet we just played an entire game of games that was all Fast and the Furious based, and did you know that Fast and the Furious was great until apparently about 6, then that was some sort of offshoot, and then they came back.
Was that the Tokyo Drift?
No, Tokyo Drift was the third in the series. It's probably the worst of all of them, up there with the worst, if nothing else. The spinoff you were referring to, Cappy, is Hobbs and Shaw, starring The Rock and Jason Statham, which was a lot of fun. It has started going downhill since 6. 6, I would argue, is the best of all of them.
Well, but didn't I read that this was supposed to be the last one, but now they're going to do like a spinoff of the last one and make it like a 4-part movie or something?
Oh, my God.
Like
yeah. Well, look, if you're Vin Diesel, you don't let this thing go. I mean, like from your cold, dead hands, if you are Vin Diesel, do you let this thing go? Because he ain't opening any other movies. This is it for Vin Diesel.
Andy, like, do you pronounce Vin with a s or a z? I'm more of a Diesel guy.
Vin Vin
Diesel.
Are you
a D-Soul guy?
I think I go S. I think I go Diesel.
Vin Diesel. I go with like a, more of a Z.
You go more Z?
Yeah, Vin like Z. The Diesel. Like Shaq, you know?
Vin
like,
Diesel. Yeah. You know what? I think you guys are right. I think I should be going Z. I think Vin Diesel does sound better than Vin Diesel.
Yeah. Yeah, Diesel.
Yeah, like, Diesel sounds like better
Diesel
for him.
Diesel trucks. Diesel gasoline.
Momo, so I've got something for you from yesterday.
Okay.
And so I love Michael Malone and how he gives no Fs, right?
Oh, I think he cares, yeah. Okay, go
no,
ahead.
No, what I mean that he doesn't give any Fs about speaking his mind in that regard. Right. So, but he clearly gives Fs because he wouldn't be speaking his mind the way he speaks his mind. But I think that it's it. I'm done with it. Like, he's got to move on from this thing now.
Yeah, this idea that the whole discussion after they won game one was about Rui Hachimura had
He
was right.
Not really.
No. He was 100% right.
I was talking all about Jokic on the show the next day.
Jokic was. I consumed an entire day of both our network and other networks and the internet.
Yeah.
And I would say that the overwhelming majority was the Lakers had figured this thing out.
But why should he get over it?
Oh, I think it's it. You're up 2-0 now, bro. You don't need to. That's it. You've made your point.
What was the quote last night? You're up 2-0 and smoke. Take that and put it in your pipe.
Put it in your pipe and smoke it. Once you use the phrase, put it in your pipe and smoke it, there's finality to this, in my opinion.
That's the mic drop?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would still be using it. I'd be in that locker room every night going, they still don't believe in us.
Well,
Jamal scored 37 points, and they still don't believe us. They're talking about Rui and Reeves. They still don't believe.
No, it's not. Everybody was talking about Jamal Murray last night.
That's what I'd be selling to.
Yeah,
the
but
team,
then
you know?
See, but you're again, you're the guy that takes it one step too far.
I mean, look, he's just firing his
team.
Michael
Malone may be the same. That's right. See, I'm just trying to keep my team
engaged.
Oh,
listen,
George.
Let me tell you something. In Momo, you've done this job on radio, so you know you're on the sideline on radio, unlike on TV, you're in the huddle all the time.
Yes, all the time.
Because there's no, you know, cameras.
You're like a total I felt like a total creeper.
Yeah,
the guy was just like sauntering into the huddle, sneaking in, see if I could eavesdrop on it all the time.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not even hiding it. I'm like right there. Yeah, I'm like, hey, coach, I'm right in front of you. Actually, I don't do front of you. I do like an angle.
Yeah, I do an angle too.
Yeah, I do an angle. So,
and then I ask like some assistant coach, what do you say?
70%,
65%. Because I can't hear.
I would say like a 45-degree angle. You know what I mean?
Yeah, 45, askance.
Okay. Yeah. And it just, you know, it could be left or right, you know, depending on where there's more room. But like, I there's a lot of stuff that you, I think the radio sideline is so much more fun because of that, right?
Correct.
Because on TV, you know, we already have camera people there and these coaches are mic'd up. So we air some of that stuff. But on the radio, you have to be in those huddles because that's part of the broadcast.
So
whether it's Darvin, I would literally, like, when they were done in the huddles, I would just tell in my talk back to the producer and be like, hey, tell Mark Kestisher and PJ Carlissimo LeBron's going to guard Jokic. Like, that's what's going to happen on the next possession. You know what I mean? And like, and obviously it would happen, right? Or they're going to double Jokic if LeBron's not, or if AD's not in the game, right? Like, I would pass that information along to the broadcast. Now, the stuff I would report was usually stuff more along the lines of like, this, like, you know, Darvin saying, like, guys, you know what? It's a game of runs, blah, blah, blah. You know, the stuff that you would get on camera, right? Like, that's the stuff I'm saying on the actual broadcast. But the Malone stuff was interesting because, to your point, Momo, he's kind of a crazy person in a lot of ways, all right? Like, he does like to fire up his team. At one point, when the Lakers were up double digits in the second half, he was like, he called a quick timeout because I think they jumped out to like a 7-0 run or a 9-0 run or something to start the half. The second half, and he went in the huddle. He looked at every one of the five guys who was sitting there in the starting group, and he goes, "Are you playing as hard as you can play? Are you playing as hard as you can play?
Wow.
Are you playing?" He did it to all five of them. I felt like this is how I treat my children. Like, this is amazing. And
there was more. Remember what he was saying? He was going, "This is the Western Conference Final."
Yes, that was what he said next.
Leave it all on the floor.
He was losing his voice.
Wow.
He was actually losing his voice.
But then you know what he did, George?
Because they played that part on TV, but not the stuff before that. Right.
Okay, but then you know what he did? He looked down the bench, and he looked at Jamal Murray, and he started screaming at him, Jamal, I don't care if you miss. Just keep shooting. Just keep shooting. And dude.
Yeah, you know, he said, I don't care if you miss, just play defense. What are we doing here? It's the Western Conference Finals. Yeah.
Dude, from that moment on, seriously, Murray had the confidence, and that's when he started to go nuts.
Yeah.
I mean, that was one of those moments where a coach reached a player.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean,
Speaking of coaches, Coach Dave Miller has just texted me. That's East Coast coaching. Well, he's definitely an East Coast guy. I mean, he's a New York guy.
Well, this is part of the reason why I call him Mike Malone as opposed to Michael. A, I just think it's funny.
Wouldn't do it to his face, though.
No, you shouldn't.
When did that switch?
A couple years ago.
Yeah,
a couple years ago.
It was kind of similar to how Lawrence Fishburne used to be Larry.
No, he was never Larry Fishburne.
Yes, he absolutely was. Look up his old credits. He absolutely was Larry Fishburne, and he made a point of saying, I'm an adult now. I want to be called Lawrence. This is true. I promise you it's true. But the
I'm Googling this right now.
I know. Yeah, I don't believe you.
100%.
Was Lawrence Fishburne.
Yes, look it up. Like when he was in Apocalypse Larry Now Fishburne. And like Cotton Club and Rumblefish, he was Larry Fishburne.
I mean, you know these facts way more than I would about.
That's why he's on the Culture Pop podcast.
Exactly.
He was, you were right, he was usually, not always, credited as Larry Fishburne until 1993.
Yeah, wow. You know what happened in 1993?
Don't tell me, but, that was, Boys in the Hood was already, what, 91-ish, 92-ish?
Yeah. I can tell you what happened. He got an Oscar nomination for What's Love Got to Do with about It and said, I'm now Lawrence Fishburne. But also,
in Boys in the Hood, he was that wise father who always had those like silver balls in his hands and he was juggling them around.
Yeah.
What are they?
I call them worry balls.
Worry balls.
I actually have some of those at home.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
You rattle them around like Larry Fishburne?
I do. When I want to like try to calm down or just center myself, I actually do use those.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But anyway, Michael is what he calls him, is what he calls himself. And listen, if that's what he wants to be called, then you got to respect that.
I'm going to call him Clay.
Right, exactly.
He clearly, though, wants to keep his team feeling like they are the disrespected underdogs.
Right, but that's the move.
Yeah.
That is absolutely the move if I were him.
Yeah, he's going to be looking for slights. Like, he's just going to be looking
for slights. Well, I mean, I was watching the game, and I had heard his quote from before. The whole, you'd think they won the whole series with six possessions of Rui on Hachimura.
It was funny when he said it, though.
It was funny. And then Rui had, like, 18 first-half points, and I was like, ooh, maybe this not going to
come back very well. I want Malone to really call out.
Yeah, but Rui's
LeBron
defense was not as good.
I know,
Jokic was tearing him up.
But, like, the point was, like, sometimes when you go hard like that with a quote, it could have strained unintended, it may not age well, right?
Yeah.
Like, and it really almost turned that into a not age well quote.
D'Lo. Yeah. So far, him calling out D'Lo hasn't fired him up.
D'Lo's minus 41.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Crosstalk has ended. The weekend is commencing for me and Momo.
Let's get out of here.
For Bergman, Cappy, and Sedano.
Little Prince for the road,
next.
Andy?
No, I've done my.
Come on, do it.
Someone's got to play it.
Purple rain.
No, I'm not doing acapella. Rain. I gotta have the music.
All right.
Gotta play it.
You hear this, George? Wait till you hear this.
Go ahead. I've been doing some Prince falsettos all show.
Purple rain.
Purple rain.
I wish we had the YouTube on.
Purple rain.
Because he doesn't just sing it, he feels it.
Purple rain.
Right, he gets into it.
Oh, I feel
I can
it
feel him
everywhere.
Feeling.
Purple rain. Purple rain.
Oh, he's even trying to do the echo.
Only want to see you bathing in the purple rain. Wanna be your weekend lover. Get me out of here, Laura.